This is Judith Conrad Radio, presenting extraordinary visionary experts in health, wealth, business, and manifesting your dreams come true. And now, here's your host, Judith Conrad, starting your day with the good news.
Well, welcome. This is the Good News Program. Absolutely. Why would I want to start something out with something negative? Well, you know, a lot of people start their day out with negativity, and that's not where it works for me. And a lot of the press, the media, has been having a heyday with Rush Limbaugh and all the negativity that hangs around that. So can we just wipe the slate clean on that? You know, you know, we're whatever he called us, that's okay, because we know our value and we don't have to listen to that kind of stuff. All right, so here we are today. We have a full moon. Oh my gosh. I went to, the Chamber of Commerce this morning, and because people know how much I love astrology, they all came up to me and says, "What's going on here?" I said, "Well, it's the full moon, and it's in Virgo, and it's a crazy one because we've got a square going on. And so, whatever, don't make any decisions right now. You will regret them." In fact, I said, don't make any decisions for about a month because we got Mercury retrograde coming in. I'll explain that. Well, the full moon, first of all, is in the sign of Virgo, and we are in Pisces. Oh, golly, golly, golly. Those are interesting ones. Virgo is an earth sign, and Pisces is a water sign. Earth, water, well, okay. And this brings in lots of lessons, opportunities to look at our higher vision and being practical. You know, Pisces is that higher vision. And then Virgo, practical, let's get organized, let's sort out our closet. And it brings in a lot of craziness because we can't decide whether we should have the higher vision or be practical about everything. And so let's look at Mercury retrograde. I mentioned it yesterday in the program, and I think I did also last week. Mercury turns retrograde, which means it seems like the planet is going backwards. It seems like details have gone out the window, or they went in the closet and locked themselves in, and we can't seem to find out what's going on. That starts on the Monday the 12th. That's coming right up, and it goes through April the 4th. Now, since we have tax season coming in right now, that means that check those details. If you deducted it last year, you may want to double check because laws have changed and the details. Good. And
okay,
so.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. What's
happening?
Hi. Uh-oh. Doug, we're echo. All right. I hope we got it taken care of. All right. Very good. So, I'm sorry. A little detail that you talk about. Is it Mercury retrograde already? Well, anyway, details such as that. I mean, all of a sudden things will just seem like they're going crazy. This is from the 12th of March through the April the 4th. Triple check the details for your taxes because, like I said, was saying, the laws have changed, some of them, and this cycle begins in Aries, and then it starts moving backwards into Pisces. And during this, again, we got the echo. We want to get rid of the echo. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So on, I got to stop here. Thank you. All right. Okay. No, not right now. And we're going to have her call in on one of the numbers. So my guest later on in about 10 minutes is going to be Dina Ricker from Mount Shasta. And so she's going to be listening and looking at the telephone numbers. And in about 10 minutes, we're going to bring her in. And you know what? We're going to be talking about intuition and how trusting your intuition is good. If you really are connected to source, if you are, however, not connected and you are, you're not trusting your own intuition. Now, that's a whole training that I've done with people. I know so many of my friends who are so intuitive that, I mean, they're downright psychic. And yet they don't quite know how to control it. It comes in and they start blurting things out. And so in business, how to use intuition, and I was talking with one of my friends the other day. He's a financier. He's with one of the financial companies, Edward Jones, Waddell & Reed, all of those. And he said, well, why should I use intuition? He says, I'm very successful in my business. I study the stock market. And he said, why should I use intuition? And I said, the intuition is going to assist you in taking your practical knowledge. Here we go with that Virgo. And then with Pisces is the fluidity of that, of being able to tap into what the potential of the market could be. So he said, let me take another look at this, because he was pretty much, we were doing a one-to-one. I was finding out about his business. He was finding out about mine. And he couldn't quite understand what intuition was all about. Why was I focusing on it so much? Because when you're tapped into that intuition, it, and you're really connected with it, and you've practiced using it, you trust it, you ask questions, you get yeses and nos, and you follow the yes or you follow the no, and it's making your life so much easier. Now, some people call it women's intuition. Some people call it a hunch. Several other things go on with that. And it's, again, the training of being able to tap into that. Some people like to use divination tools. I love the tarot. And I went into into the bookcase, and I said, let me see what kind of divination tools I've been using for years and years. Well, first of all, it is the tarot, which is the Crowley deck, is my main source. I looked in there, and I saw the Sacred Path cards. I saw the Anubis Oracle. I saw medicine cards. I saw the Angelic Messenger card. I saw Inner Child cards, and I saw Cheryl Rose from Mount Shasta. She's taken all of her paintings and made cards with them. I have the runestones. I have the I Ching. And then Louise Hay has created many, many decks of cards. When I began the tarot about, 1984, I think, was when I really started. Maybe there were 25, maybe 50 decks, counting the ones of Marseille from France and different decks from different countries and different divination tools. Some in Africa, they will throw the bones. In Peru, they will throw the coca leaf. And then some people will just throw stones. And the patterns that form from this are what we're really looking at. What are the patterns? So before we go any further, I'm going to give you the patterns that I see here from the four cards that I picked for the tarot. The first card, and by the way, four cards, I want you to think about which card you would like. Card number one, card number two, card number three, or card number four. We've got four cards. Now, I always like to play the game, pick a card, pick a number. You don't know what the card is, but think of, okay, I have a question. So if I'm looking at a question, all right, my question today, because I've been thinking about this in the last couple of days, is I'm looking for someone to mentor, someone who wants to maybe have a radio program, somebody wants to maybe write a book or pull their spiritual business together, their business together, or just think of a question. So, and that's my question is, tell me about the mentoring. What is that going to mean to me? So I'm going to pick card number three. See, I play it too. Every morning I pull these cards or a divination tool. So let's go. Card number one. If you pick card number one, it's the Four of Cups, luxury. It's showing a pink lotus at the top, which represents heart. Pink heart. The lotus is opening. Oh, nice, huh? Opening your heart, and there's a light coming out of the heart, out of the pink lotus, and it's filling each of four cups. They're solid gold. Can you imagine a solid gold with two handles and a base all made out of solid gold? By opening up the heart and filling your spiritual life, your mental, your emotional, and your physical life, you're going to have such love in everyone. Now, not everyone can fill all of those cups at the same time. You may say, well, I don't know about the physical level. Can I love that person who's been, you know, screwing me over? I don't think I can love that person. Well, guess what? Forgive, fill the cup with all this unconditional love. Sorry. It's what's out here for you. All right, so that's the card number one. Open your heart, pink lotus, open and fill the gold cups. Card number two, the Two of Swords, peace. So once you've filled all areas of your life, your spiritual, your mental, your emotional life, and your physical, then you can be at peace because you and spirit are at one. There's an equality about it. And again, there's a lotus, a blue lotus this time, and the two swords are going right through that. In other words, this peace comes because you and God are equal, and you are our God also. You're the God within, and you get to create peace. Cool. Card number three. This is mine. Yay. That's the Two of Discs, and that is change on the physical level. Have you felt that energy? I mean, looking at that moon, holy cow. Someone said on Facebook, I could howl at this moon because it had a golden aura about it. Therefore, on the card number three, in and around my mentoring, it has to do with Jupiter in Capricorn. Jupiter says, let's expand our reality of who we're going to mentor. And Capricorn says, let's help them get a foundation in business, pull their spiritual work together, maybe get them on the radio, get them going so this is their livelihood and not 9 to 5 going to a work that you maybe hate. Card number four. In this position, a Bardo or a challenge card gets wiped out. And guess what? It's the Five of Wands, spiritual strife. Everything on this card is turned away from center. And many people with this full moon today felt like howling. I mean, they were crazy at the chamber meeting today, the greeters. And so it felt like everything was turned away from center. No groundedness, nothing, just scattered energy, just bouncing off the walls. So that is going to be dissipated, I would say, in the next five minutes. Let's ground ourselves. Put your feet in the ground. Kind of rub them against the rug or the floor. And feel like you're connecting with the deepest part of Mother Earth, the center. Feel like your feet are just, all the senses in the bottom of your feet are being activated and they're connecting with all of them. Underground streams, all of the rocks, the grounding rocks. And by the way, I picked up red jasper. I was walking by my kitchen window and I said, there's a message. I trusted my intuition. And here's what it says from Melody. Red jasper, it comes from the sign of Taurus. It's about rectifying unjust circumstances. And meditating on this mineral can provide insights, many insights. So I'm holding on to this red jasper, and it's communicating the message to you about being responsible and providing a rescue in case there's some danger around. It can facilitate going back into your dreams and allowing you, the dreamer, to remember aspects that are so relevant to your life right here, right now. And it's like you're going back to the dream and you're playing it again and again because it's so important. Red jasper is also about preventing any setbacks, helping you to learn to progress and to eliminate aspects of digression or moving backwards. We are here to move forward. Love it. Isn't that great? So in what I interpret this card for me, the card number three, which is the two of discs change, is that I am working from the inside out, and that whoever I'm mentoring is looking for someone right now. and we'll talk about the package, how what it's going to look like. It's going to be so exciting, and like you may want to write a book. How many people out there that are listening to this program right now are thinking about writing a book? And maybe you're thinking, I'm so intuitive, but I don't know what to do with it. How do I make a business out of this? How do I get clients once I decide to start this business? And how do I improve my intuition so that I can tap into it when I really need it? Also, one of the things I love to do is, especially when you're doing career changes, find out what you came here to do. And once that locks in, oh my gosh, it's just so exciting. So if you're interested in having one-to-one mentoring over the telephone, we can do Skype too, then we will take your work, pull it together, help you get it marketed, and get your business plan and move to the next level. I'm excited. All right. It's about time now that we look and see if we can get Dina Ricker from Mount Shasta to call in, and we will be glad to have her come in. All right. So when she's ready to call in, I know she's, I'm just assuming she's listening either on my website, Judith Conrad Radio, or she's listening to PBS Radio.
Hello, Miss Judith.
Hey, Dina, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We had a little mishap there with a Skype. Are you on Skype or on telephone?
No, I'm on my telephone. Yeah, there was definitely some mishap. Maybe one of those solar flares.
Yeah, all the solar flares that are going on here, that's bringing, I thought it was just the moon, but we've got solar flares out there. Tell me about what you know about them.
I really don't know much about the solar flares. I know that they can cause issues with technology, and I've been seeing people posting little videos and pictures on Facebook, but I'm not that informed on them, really.
Okay, well, let's find out who you are, where you come from, and Spirit just said, get her on the radio.
Ah, that's cool. My dad, I think my dad is listening on Long Island with my mom. Dad had a 50-plus year broadcast journalism career in radio. He's pretty excited.
So he would understand technology glitches, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so tell me about where you were born, and I know you spent this last summer back east, so tell me about that.
Yeah, I was born in Southampton, New York. Which is part of the Hamptons out on the east end of Long Island. Let's see, born there. My parents actually met in Japan. Dad was in the Air Force, in the Armed Forces Radio, and Mom went over to teach some local young children that were stationed with their parents. So that's how they met. And then they ended up on Long Island with Dad's radio career, and I was born there and grew up in an old whaling port called Sag Harbor.
Wow.
Yeah. And lived there, moved. Actually, the first time I came to Shasta was in 96. I came out with an acquaintance of mine for the WESOC Festival.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had read about it at a local metaphysical bookstore in the Sedona Journal, and truthfully, I had never heard of Mount Shasta before, which I find surprising now that I live here, because when I first got here and saw the mountain, I was astounded that they never teach you about that mountain in geography.
No, they don't. Mm-mm.
Because this is the second largest volcano in the continental U.S. But anyway, I felt the magic and knew as soon as I got here that I wanted to live here. And so I brought my now ex-husband, who's my husband at the time, brought him with me the following year, and he fell in love with it. And we, you know, trusted my intuition, trusted that things would work out. And we packed up 4 months after we came out for the vacation and just drove across in August of 97 and got a house within a week. Kids made friends. He got a job immediately at the mill for that year, and then he was pulled on with Cal Fire, and everything just sort of panned out.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when people are supposed to come to the mountain, they come. I mean, I was so surprised that I was called to the mountain. I mean, I used to bring people up, and we came up to the WESAC, and yeah, when Joshua led it. And
right, yeah.
All of a sudden, here I am, packing up and moving up to Mount Shasta and stayed there for 6 years. And that I did meet you during the time I was there.
Yeah, that Sacred Mountain Retreat Spa when it was near what used to be the stage door on the boulevard.
I know, on the boulevard, yes. And the boulevard, of course, is what, 2 blocks long or three?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't blink. You might miss it.
I know. It's a sweet town.
I love Mount Shasta.
I know. Now, last year, you decided to go back to the Hamptons, and you had several jobs back there, a couple of them that I know of. And I was read about your adventures back there. So why did you decide to go back for a year?
Well, it's funny. I will never say never again, because I always, when we moved out here in 97, I swore I would never live back there again. My ex-husband was like 12th generation from East Hampton. Family settled the area in the 1640s. And when we left, it's super expensive. If anybody's heard the Hamptons referenced in TV shows and movies, it's like the Hollywood elite, you know, and we come from working class, and it's very expensive. And so we came out here, and I swore I'd never live there again. But after we divorced, which is amicably, which is very nice, I went back. I decided just to go back, go stay with my parents for a year, get some fresh energy, just go back to my roots and see what would happen over the year, try to make some money. And that's what I did. I was working for some friends in a restaurant and then got another job and reconnected with childhood friends. And it was a wonderful year. I made some new friends, and I'm glad I went. But my heart's in Shasta. I mean, I missed it the entire time that I was away.
I know. It's hard not to. The front page of my computer has a picture of Mount Shasta.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah. I did come back twice. When I was in New York for 13 months, I came back to Shasta twice. February of that year, I came back for like 3 weeks. And then last June, I flew out, because I was going to only stay for 9 months. I booked a ticket to come back June 8th. And I thought, well, I'll come back and get my car and just drive it back, because it's busy out there and I needed my own vehicle for the summer. And so I did a road trip with a girlfriend, and we drove back New York, so I did get to come back twice and see my daughters and friends, and that was nice.
Yes, and you have a lot of friends here.
Yeah, I drove back with my daughter in September. We took the long route. We came down through the Appalachians and then picked up I-40 straight across and stayed with a girlfriend in Oklahoma City who's from Long Island, and then my friend Mark Sullivan, who lives in Flagstaff, and drove home. And seeing the mountain for the first time driving up, I'll tell you, you know, it was just like, oh, yeah, I'm home.
Yeah. When you come up around that one corner, what is it, on Highway 5, you come around a corner, and there's the mountain. I mean, I get chills every time I see it.
Absolutely. And, that, you know, Mount Shasta is visible for about 100 miles away
when
you actually get up to the base of it. So it's really nice to drive up I-5 and just keep catching glimpses of her.
I know. Well, one of the themes that we're going to be talking about here. Oh, first of all, did you get to listen to the part about the cards?
I did, and what's funny is I picked number 3 as well.
Oh no! So this
I did.
So
that was great when you said number 3. I'm like, oh, that's the card I picked.
So the two of this change, which is internal and external change. What does that mean to you? Because I picked the mentoring. Of how I want to mentor and change, of course. It's not the way I think it is.
Right. It never is. Right now, like a lot of personal shifts. Stepping into getting ready to move out of this house. I've been here since we moved here in 97, and the house is going on the auction block on the 28th of this month, which is sort of, I have to laugh at the universe's sense of humor, because that would have been my 25th anniversary with my ex-husband on that day.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I'm proactive, I'm packing, I'm getting ready, and I don't really feel overwhelmed. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm excited to change, and I'm just going to go over the hill to Mount Shasta, but it will be nice not to drive back and forth from the cloud and wintry weather.
Yeah, that's a real treacherous road through there.
It is, and I've been blessed that I've never had an issue, you know, driving these 15 years. But my daughter, Shelby, on Christmas Eve a few years back, she was going up the hill towards Snowman's Hill driving to work in Shasta, and she ended up losing control of the car and rolled the van. And thankfully she didn't get hurt, but totaled the van. So yeah, it can be very dangerous.
So let's look at your intuition. You're very intuitive. You've trained with some different folks, and how do you use, I mean, what do you, could you identify what you think is intuition?
For me, ever since I was little, and this, you know, might sound strange to some people, but maybe not to, to your listeners, I've always heard that voice, you know, your intuition, like you were giving it names before. Some people call it a gut feeling, the still small voice within. I would hear that voice in my head. It's almost like a thought, but I knew it was something different to me. It was like something bigger than myself that was trying to like get my attention. And usually in situations that could have been maybe a little bit dangerous to like very dangerous, driving in a car and maybe you're going too fast, or there's a deer about to come out and you hear that voice like slow down, and then a deer runs across the road, things
right.
like that. And I've always tried to pay attention, but for me, it's been my entire life, but the one that really sticks out in my mind was the year before we moved out here. We were renting a ranch-style home. It was really long. And there were two living rooms, and I was going through the middle living room towards the bedroom, and the kids were in school, and there was one of the girls' shoes was in the middle of the floor. I have two daughters. And I heard that voice. They picked the shoe up out of the middle of the floor before somebody tripped over it. And I was in a hurry to go to my room and do whatever I was going to do. And I remember thinking, yeah, I'll get it later, you know, that shoe popped up, and I had sort of an attitude. And I went off, and when I came back 10 minutes later, or however long it was, I tripped over that shoe.
Right.
And I have to tell you, it was so humbling. I seriously dropped to my knees and got in prayer mode, and I said, thank you for humbling me, because you know what? I need to pay attention to that. And ever since that day, I really try to pay attention, because whether it's something as small as a shoe in the middle of the floor, or it was the move to California, and we had no jobs here, we had no home here, my intuition kept saying, go, you'll be taken care of. And it all panned out. And I didn't tell you this, but I had broken my ankle in June. And we were set to move out here like August 16th to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And my ankle broke in June playing a softball game for work. And I was going to wait tables, and I could have easily made about $5,000 or $6,000 in those 2.5 months.
Right.
And I remember like somebody slid into me. We were playing a baseball game between the two restaurants. And I fell on the floor, on the ground. And my ankle busted, and I was in major pain, and I knew it was broken as soon as this guy slid into me. And this wave of peace washed over me, and I just knew that everything was going to be okay. And as it turned out, I ended up babysitting for a girlfriend's two children for the summer. I made money. My boss at the restaurant, the two of them, they did a basket of cheer and a raffle and raised like $600 to help with our move. And a girlfriend who wound up here about 4 years after us put together a barbecue to say goodbye to, you know, Dina and David and the girls. Please give $20 if you can to help them, more if you can. If you can't give anything, just come say goodbye. And she ended up raising like $1,200 for us to help us move.
Nice.
Yep. So it was
very nice.
You know, yeah, part of the intuition, part of just knowing that things would be okay and just trusting. And it's been, you know, pretty much magical. But when I don't listen to that voice, yeah, like tripping over the shoe or even bigger things.
And I'm sure that many of our listeners out there, if you could call in and share when you trusted your intuition, or perhaps when you didn't trust your intuition, it certainly would help a lot of the other folks who are listening. And then, of course, because Dina is very intuitive, I'm very intuitive, we'll probably just add our 50 cents worth whatever situation that you'd like to bring here on the telephone, on the radio program. And by the way, I just have to chuckle, because one person said, you know, you were asking people to call in, and three times during the show yesterday, I was going to call in, but right in the middle of it, somebody called me, or somebody was at the door, or, you know, I know you're out there listening, and you don't always get to call in. So that's why when you listen on the archives, you know, at tomorrow sometime, you'll think, gosh, I wish I could have called in. But these messages are for you, always for you. And, of course, I do a lot of work on my own self, and I know Dina does also. I know Dina meditates, and that she shares a lot of her insights on the Facebook.
Yeah, and, you know, it's great. People always say, oh, you share such beautiful things. And truthfully, I just grab them from somebody else. You know, they just have some amazing things on there. They're not like, they didn't come from my brain. But that's one of the things I love about, you know, the social network. You can share these amazing quotes that are going to uplift somebody's, you know, their mood, and they get to have a better day. Maybe if they were not having such a good day, that's a nice feeling.
It is. And you know, you mentioned the word brain. We don't always tap into our intellect. But the part of the brain that we're tapping into is that pineal gland with the pituitary right behind it. And you know, there's a space in there. You know, I don't know how to describe it, but when I'm in that zone and people ask questions, the answers come through so strong and so spot on as far as what's going on with them. So you may have questions you'd like to call in, and Dina, you may have a question for me, and I know you know how to do the same thing, so I may ask you a question. I'm just going to throw it out to you because I know how intuitive you are. You ready for it?
Okay.
Yeah. I intend that we're raising the bar.
Okay.
All right. So I mentioned about the my mentoring, and because I'm a coach for all reasons, and I do intuitive spiritual work, and of course I also do the media, you know, coaching people on marketing and all that. So intuitively, because I'm coming into change that two of discs, what's your hit?
For you?
Yes.
I think you were talking about mentoring somebody. I think like someone's going to pop in and that you're going to help change their life, you know, in the most positive way. Could be something that they never even thought about. That's like the beauty of I think, life sometimes. Not putting things in a box. You were talking about the Virgo Pisces, the opposition.
Yeah.
With the moon in Virgo. And right now Mars is in Virgo as well, and it's opposing Chiron in Pisces. And Chiron is our wound. And Mars, you know, it's the planet of war, but it's also the planet of action and getting things done. And Virgos are very analytical, and I have Mars in Virgo. I have that placement natally. And for me, I always have to know where things are. I want them in a box. I want to know how things are going to fit. And really, this is a time for me to let go and to just allow the flow. And I think the past few weeks, I've just been, like, stepping into the magic, and things have just been flowing. So I'm thinking for you, it might be somebody who wasn't even expecting, you know, somebody who's maybe stepping into the flow and doesn't, if you're going to mention them for radio or something, the bottom line is I think it'll be something that they weren't expecting.
Right.
Not well, putting things in a box. I had this conversation with my friend Paul Luzzi, and he's in Basildon, England. Hi, Paul. I don't know if you're listening now. It's pretty late there. But we talked about it, and I said, don't put, you know, your image of somebody in a box or what you think your job will look like. You know, have an intention of what you'd like, but you don't know how it's going to come to you. You have to be open to that.
Nice. So I heard you also mention Chiron, and Chiron is the wounded healer. Because, you know, when people are talking and I've asked a question, my ears are all attuned, and so I picked that up, that I may be working with a wounded healer, someone who's been wounded, they are the best healers. If you have been wounded in any way, not just physically, emotionally, mentally, I've just noticed that these particular individuals are the best that I love to work with, because they make the best healers, and now I can help put them into their own business.
Absolutely. And when you just said that, I just realized that Chiron is in Pisces. That's my natal placement of Chiron. It'll be there for, like, I think the next 7 years or so, or 6 years. And my grandson, my daughter's pregnant, she's due in like 18 days, and I just realized that's going to be his natal placement.
Wow.
He will have Mars in Virgo like me. He will have Chiron in Pisces. I just was like, wow. Yeah. Very cool.
And maybe you'll be the mentor. His mentor.
Wow, sure, love him up. I know that.
Well, what I'm getting too, as I'm hearing you talk, is that I want to know when you're starting your spiritual business.
Oh my, I don't know. Right now, I'm just working on doing my massage, and I just started working with Power Organics, which I love the company. I love their products, the crystal salt, and their blue-green algae products. And I'm pretty excited to be working with the company that's real conscious. And knowing that the product that we're putting together, and I'm helping and shipping right now and packing things up, are going to help people feel better. I mean, the properties for the product are really great for the immune system. So that's what I'm focusing on. I do have a massage interview tomorrow, with a lady in Mount Shasta that has the Mount Shasta Healing Arts Center. So that could be an expansion of my healing arts. I'm not really sure. Right now I'm sort of focused on the move, you know, getting this house together and seeing what manifests for me as far as housing in Mount Shasta and just sort of going with the flow.
Intuitively.
Yeah, I'm trying to step away from having to know where everything is going to land.
Right.
I've been like that for a lifetime. Tom Lesher, who I love to death, he's an astrologer on Facebook. He does the evolutionary astrology.
Right.
He did a reading for me in July, and he said, yeah, you know, spend lifetimes of having everything in this little box, and really it would behoove you to just let it go. Just, you know, see where the chips may fall. And so that's what I'm working on that. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm trying.
Well, you know, it's breaking habits that have been there for lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just feeling that and I wanted to have you just identify a couple things that would be under your capstone, under the heading of what your new business is. And you mentioned the products and you know, being connected with conscious people. So here are a couple things, plus your massage, plus, you know, you've got a couple other things that you could wrap up in a package to make money in this way. I know you'd work with massage. Mount Shasta Healing Arts, now they, I guess I know them from Mount Shasta, where they look.
Yeah, I didn't know, like I spoke with Carol the other day, and she's like across from Ron's Furniture. Near the Black Bear Gallery. I didn't realize that she was in that building. I actually didn't even know that the Healing Arts Center was there, so I'm excited to check it out. It's always nice to have, you know, Mount Shasta is like a mecca for the healing arts. It really is. People flock here from around the world.
They do. They do, absolutely. Yeah. I think I know right where it is. Yeah. Perfect. So you have your new spiritual business starting, and what would you name it if you had the opportunity to name it?
Well, I already have a name for my massage business, and it's Atlantis Rising, because I'm an old Atlantean soul. I'm an East Coast girl. I grew up swimming in the Atlantic. I'm convinced that Atlantis is out there somewhere underneath that water.
I know it. And Lemuria is in Peru. That's where I always think. You know. For those people who don't know Atlantis, Lemuria, let's explain. I always like to, Virgo Rising, I always have to get a little, you know, details so that people don't think we're just talking about stuff way out there. What is Atlantis and what is Lemuria?
Well, Atlantis, you know, Plato wrote about Atlantis, and if Atlantis was a true place, which I believe it was, it would have sunk about 12 to 13,000 years ago in a great flood. And Lemuria was an older civilization, or Mu, the continent of Mu. You know, some people believe that the Hawaiian Islands are a remnant of Mu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not really sure. I mean, that's my belief for sure.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I named my business Atlantis, and I didn't create Atlantis Rising until I got out here, because I was here for about 7 years before I even went to massage school. I had to pick the Atlantis name just to shake the Lemurians up a little bit, because all you hear about is Lemuria out here. And I'm like, wait a
minute.
Right, right. I'm an East Coaster. You're always blaming the Atlanteans for all these downfalls. Enough of that. I'm going to have Atlantis Rising Massage at the base of Mount Shasta.
Very good. Well, as I'm thinking about Atlantis, I think of the Atlantic Ocean. When I think of Lemuria, I think of the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They were two great civilizations thousands of years ago, and the Atlanteans were more analytical, I believe, and the Lemurians were a bit more spiritual, and, you know, both of them crashed and burned because they got a little bit too extreme one way or the other. They didn't have that balance.
Think the Isle of Dr. Moreau, the movie with Marlon Brando, when they were doing all those like genetic mutations. That is reputed to have been one of the things that went on in Atlantis. And like you said, they took the power that they had and they got greedy with it. And some cataclysms came and wiped out all the islands.
Excellent.
I mean, who knows if that's true, but that's how the story goes. Those are the legends.
Those are the legends.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And Atlantis was famous for healing with light, color, and sound. And these are the technologies in the healing arts that are coming back now. Sound frequency healing, color spectrum healing, all that.
Excellent. Again, we're throwing it out. People want to call in all the way through. You can interrupt us at any time. That's what we're here for. Be able to use, I'll pull a card. And Dina, what do you think people really want to know now? About anything. I mean, about their work, about their life, what's coming up in the future.
You know, I think people are really, like, it's 2012. You know, there's been so much negative spin on 2012, like, oh, the planet's going to end. And, you know, people are wigged out. I would say, and I've heard Tom Lesher talk about this, the 3/4 of the population are in, you know, they're in a different mindset. They're not maybe as aware spiritually and having more faith and thinking better thoughts. You know, they're into the mainstream media. They get deluged with fear all the time. I think people, a lot of people want to know what's going to happen, you know? The Mayan prophecies, and I come from a Mayan lineage. My grandmother was from Merida, from the Yucatan.
Okay.
She was Mayan Mexican and very holistic. And she's actually one of the reasons I went into massage, because she just didn't believe in modern medicine. I think people want to know. I mean, look, with the earthquake in Japan, we've had a lot of stuff going on, and it can be really scary if you're not grounded and you don't have faith in something bigger than yourself.
What does that mean, grounded? Here I am. I if someone were listening, we have our certain words that we throw around. Grounded, you know, healing, intuitive, and people would say, well, what does grounded mean?
To me, it means, you know, trusting and knowing that no matter what, everything is going to be, you'll be okay. I mean, you're not this body. This is just a byproduct of spirit in physical form, you know, having a physical experience. So, yeah, even, you know, if you lose this life, I mean, for me, I don't believe that's the end at all. I think, like, death is birth and rebirth. That's sort of how I've always, like, felt about it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It doesn't mean that it's any less scary if you have children on the planet and there are, you know, wars going on like there always are and all these scary things. But just trusting that you're in the right place at the right time, and even the experiences that you have that are painful, you know, are going to help you to grow and shift. Be the person possibly that you're meant to be.
Yeah. Because
I've had a lot of experiences in life where, you know, they weren't great and they were very trying emotionally, but they've, you know, in retrospect, they were needed for soul's growth. And I'm grateful for all those experiences, because those experiences taught me, you know, many good lessons. I can't get into all of them, but I'm grateful for it all, really.
Excellent. So being grounded for me, I mentioned I had the red jasper. So any crystal, mm-hmm. any stone that you hand, some crystals throw you way out of your body, but certain crystals, hematite, and I think this red jasper is grounding me so that I have my feet on the ground, I'm practical, and yet when I'm this grounded, which means like, it's like a tree with roots in the ground, a wind comes along, it's not going to blow me over. I'm very firm in my belief and what I'm doing. And then the intuition can come in, and it has a practicality about it. And here we go with that Virgo-Pisces combination again, mm-hmm. the visionary and being practical at the same time.
Right.
So, Dina, you're going to be moving to Mount Shasta or close, someplace in the area. You are starting your new business, restarting it, as far as I can tell. And you're trusting your intuition and that you will be taken care of.
Absolutely. And I always am. Like I said, like when my ankle broke, you know, I could have gone into fear mode and went, oh, crap. My ankle just, there goes my income. I would have made money. How the heck are we going to get to California? Because we really didn't have much money saved at all. We really didn't have anything saved at that point. It was going to be my income from the summer and my husband's income at the time. And, you know, but like I said, as soon as my ankle busted, that wave of peace came over me, and I intuitively knew that everything would be okay.
And if you had worked all this time and had all this money, it wouldn't have put you into the trust factor.
Yeah, that's true. You know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, if you're open enough, you get lessons. And a lot of times, just when I'm going through something, I don't really see it. And it's usually, hindsight's 20/20. After the fact, I go, oh, okay, now I get it. That's why that had to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when we make a decision, we're trusting our intuition, and then we try to second-guess ourselves and say, well, you know, I probably should have done this other thing, and look what happened now. I ended up losing my job, blah, 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 because I did this, and this is what my intuition. And then, like you said, when you look back maybe a month later, and there you are, you lost the job, and all of a sudden something else opened up, and you would not have looked at that had you not lost the job and followed your intuition. This is God tapping you on the shoulder and saying, do this, and you listen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really try to listen to that voice. I mean, it's rare that I don't listen to it. Like, an example was, I was walking through my kitchen the other day, and there was, like, a mason jar, not anywhere on the counter where it would fall off, but it was sort of near the edge. I don't think it would have fallen off unless somebody came and, like, shoved it. But as I was walking past it, I heard that voice say, you might want to move that jar, and I went to keep walking, and then I caught myself, and I went, nope, and I took the jar and pushed it, like, up against the wall.
Yes.
It might sound simplistic, but when I don't listen, it never works out. Right? It never works out well.
And so sometimes, you know, when it's the little things, people will say, oh, poo-poo. I'm not listening to that, because it's not the parting of the Red Sea. It is not an angel standing there holding the car from falling over the cliff. And that happens, too. But it's the little baby steps and things that happen that are so important.
Well, it's funny too, because yeah, it is little. Like I told you, I tripped over the shoe and that was little. But, you know, there's times recently since I've been home and there's been things that have happened and I felt it, you know, and I just, sometimes you don't want to believe it, you know, if it's a circumstance in your life where you want to see the best in somebody or believe other than what is being presented to you, and you can shove that voice aside and say, no, you just want something to shift, and then it doesn't, and eventually you open your eyes and you go, oh. Yeah, okay, I heard that the whole time, but I wasn't paying attention.
Right, because sometimes when we're infatuated or sexual mm-hmm. energy gets involved, then we don't listen, and we override it.
Exactly, and I'm intuitive enough to know, like, when, you know, if you're BSing me, I know it. I mean, really. But you just, you know, sometimes you put on those rose-colored glasses and you want to hope for the best. And it's all good because it's all, you know, it's life lessons. You come out of it and you're like, ah, okay, thank you. And, you know, to be able to say thank you for being a teacher for me, because I needed that lesson, obviously, or it wouldn't have happened.
So, Dina, one of the themes also today, other than intuition, is raising the bar and making choices. When I say raising the bar, that means you're getting a higher perspective and you're making decisions. You're selecting friends that are maybe a little bit higher. I don't want to say higher class, but they're more aware. I don't know how to describe it. So what does that mean, raising the bar to you?
To me, trusting my intuition, you know, knowing that I'm going to put myself in situations that are not going to help me to grow. I mean, that doesn't mean, you know, let's talk as far as friends go. I have, like, friends that are on, like, the full spectrum. People that are really, let's say, maybe Republican and don't believe in, you know, certain spiritual practices. And then I have friends who might be pagan, who are really open to stuff. And my friends run the gamut. So it doesn't mean, like, you're too good for anybody. You're not going to hang out with certain people. But
right,
there
right.
are certain things in my life that, you know, I, like, for instance, getting back into my reading, getting back into doing yoga, things that I put off for the past few months that I have not done, you know, not taking care of me, like, that definitely needs to stop. I've been focusing more on that. I had a great conversation with a friend last night, a new friend, and it was so wonderful to sit and talk to this man who is so conscious, and we laughed and, you know, talking about all sorts of things and not having a judgment like, oh, you know, she's crazy, or, you know, to be on that same wavelength, when you're with people who are of like mind, it's wonderful.
And here's, when I say raising the bar, I'm not talking about, and I said maybe a different class of people. I didn't mean any judgment about how people dress or their
right.
social status
no.
or how much money they make or whether they wear jeans all the time or no. whether they ride donkeys or what, you know what I mean. It's the awareness of an individual that you want to hang out with someone who's like a power partner. We've been talking about like that a lot at the chamber. Power partners. Who is someone that I need to get to know today that would change my life?
Mm-hmm.
And So as I'm looking around at my friends and maybe even a whole group, I look at the one group and I say, you know, I'm not finding an advocate or someone who believes that my intuition, my intuitive readings are the best thing since bubblegum. And if I don't have that resonance in there and I am not there to change their mind, I don't know whether that's my group. That's not my tribe.
Right.
So I've been looking at that recently, the power partners. And who are my power partners? Who can refer me to, you know, someone who wants to be mentored, someone who may want to have a radio program like Dina, you know?
Father would be thrilled. I have a cousin, actually, who he wasn't KISW, was in Seattle, I think. He used to be on a station in San Jose, and then he had an evening or afternoon show on one of the big rock stations in Seattle, Mike Ricker, my cousin. I think he still is working there.
How about that?
Yeah, they'd be thrilled. They'd be like, yay.
Right. Well, with what you're doing and with what I'm doing, I find that BBS Radio is just the best. You know, it's my tribe. The other people who have programs, my tribe, they think pretty much like I do. So I know that the folks tuning in are looking for the same type of answers. They're looking for inspiration that we have to offer.
Right.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left. Let's let you. What would you like to say to the world out there? And then maybe do you have a contact number or email that you'd like to throw out that people want to get in touch with you?
Yeah. I mean, if anybody wants to contact me, if they liked anything on the show or just want to, you know, talk about whatever might have inspired them, it's Mayqueen, MayQueen, 2727 at yahoo.com.
Okay.
What do I want to say? I don't know. I'm welcome. I'm excited for change, really. You know, most that I can say right now is I just feel a lot of magic flowing. Just been opening myself up, and things have just been falling into my lap probably the past 10 days or so. It's been amazing. I don't even know what to say, but I'm grateful.
Marianne, online, Marianne. Call us.
Okay, do we have time for that, Marianne? Okay, let's take Marianne. Hello, Marianne.
Hi, Judith.
How you doing?
Hi, Marianne. I'm doing good. I'm Mary Ann from Oregon.
Mary Ann from Oregon. Okay. I don't have a
Newburgh,
what part?
Oregon. You know me. I'm Sharon's friend.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay, Mary Ann, how can we help you? We've got 1 minute left. Oh, I wish you had called in a little earlier.
I know I should have, but I was just waiting. I was just enjoying your show, and I've been listening to your other ones the last couple days, and that one card that you read the other day for the 3 days or the 3 months, it hit me today. So today was the third day. So
all right.
That was my card.
Very good, Maria.
Well, I have a job interview on Monday.
Okay, I'm grabbing a card for that job interview, and it's the universe. It's going to be primo, primo, and it's the final stage in bringing everything together that you've always wanted.
Yes.
Hee-hee!
All right. Awesome. Woo, that's awesome.
So, Marianne, on next Wednesday, I'm going to have an astrologer on. So you might want to call in with, you know, maybe email me your astrology. And Mark, AstroMark, is going to be my interview on Wednesday. And Tuesday we'll probably play another show. But Wednesday I'd like to have you call in. And don't wait so long to call in.
Okay. All
thanks,
right.
Marianne.
I was kind of holding back because I wasn't sure. All right. Well, you have a good day, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
All right. Thanks a lot, and thank you so
all
much,
right.
Dina. Thanks, Dina.
Thank you, Judith. You have a great rest of the day.
Okay, and so I'm going to close the radio program. I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.
You have been listening to the Good News Radio Program with Judith Conrad. To email Judith Conrad, go to judith@judithconradradio.com.